RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Beltway Blitz time here on G&D, brought to you by Window Nation. It's where we spin you around the Beltway. What's going on in the world of DC sports? Kendrick Olson sitting in for GP. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny on the Fan. Remember, Jake Gruden will join us at 5. Let's get started here on the ice. Our pal Sammy Silver from the Hockey News joins us to talk Caps. Sammy, this condensed schedule is kind of wild. It's a lot of weird travel, etc., but they get the defending champs tonight in Florida.
No, I mean, it's a crazy slate. You know, they come out of the holiday break. I think it's in total like 22 games, 41 days. So not a lot of time to really rest. You know, it's one game and then you're back to work the next 48 hours, right? So, yeah, big game tonight against the defending Cup champs. You know, it's going to be a fast one. It's going to be a different style of play than what they saw Saturday. And, you know, it's going to come down to consistency and, you know, continuing to just find their game and find out what they're about.
What do you think the ceiling is of this Caps hockey team?
It's a good question. I mean, I think that we've seen flashes of, you know, what they can do, and that, you know, when they are playing their best hockey, they're a team that's, you know, making offense happen, you know, playing well on its own end, getting the most out of Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren and the Nets. And, you know, I think the ceiling's high. You know, I think that they do a lot of the right things and they play the right way and they trust in the process. It's just a matter of sticking with it and, you know, finding the consistency and getting the results on paper. You know, the analytics and underlying numbers can look good, but it may not necessarily translate to the score sheet, you know? So I think that's where, you know, it comes down to just bearing down, finishing those chances and switching it out there. And when that happens, you know, success should come easier.
Sammy, you don't apologize for having Jacob Chychrun have an unbelievable season. He's, you know, Kevin Hatcher's goal record for defenseman is in jeopardy. He's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But is it an issue in general that he's tied for second on the team in goals? Is it kind of reflective of how they're playing and maybe, you know, where offense is coming from or maybe isn't in certain cases?
I mean, I wouldn't call it an issue. I think it's interesting, right? I mean, I think you look at the Cavs' blue line, they're contributing a lot of offense. I think they lead the league in, you know, goals by the blue line, which, you know, if you look back a few years ago, you know, the Caps desperately needed more offense from the blue line, right? So, you know, it's obviously a good problem to have when your defense is producing and maybe stepping up when your offense isn't necessarily clicking. You know, that being said, I do think, you know, there's opportunities for, you know, the forward lines to maybe find a little bit more chemistry and find their sparks, which is why you're, you know, kind of seeing Carberry, you know, mix up the lines, put them in a blender, you know, see what works. And you know, it's not like the chances aren't there, you know, which is encouraging. You see the scoring chances and you see, you know, the opportunities. It's just a matter of finishing. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the best that they can do is continue to stick to it and bear down a little bit better. So not, you know, a problem, but it definitely is, you know, interesting to see the defense, you know, contributing more, and you definitely need some more offense for sure.
Yeah, I think that's well put. Why has this group been so streaky, both in the good and bad direction? I mean, that's you know, whatever it was, winning 10 of 11, then it's all of a sudden we're losing 6 out of 7. Why has this group kind of been so streaky? Or is it just kind of you're getting to average or pretty good, just kind of in a strange path? Why do you think they've been so streaky in both directions?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I know, because I think you can look at the problem from multiple sides, and you can kind of look at the team and you see, you know, okay, in November, you know, you go on this really hot run and everything's clicking for you. And, you know, maybe before that things weren't going so hot and you're kind of sticking with the process, but the process isn't really paying off, and that starts to pay off, and then things go downhill again. And then you have, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, has been out, and he's one of your biggest, you know, guys on the top six. And then you lose Ryan Leonard for a good chunk of games. And, you know, the power play, you know, which picked up and ran through him, you know, leading up to the injury, and then it dips over that span without him. And, you know, I think it's normal ebbs and flows of the season, but you also have to remember that this is a team that's, you know, been through some stuff. You know, they lost, you know, one of their top centers, and, you know, lost one of their promising young rookies, and for a bit, and now he's back. And, you know, now it's just about finding the chemistry again. And you know, teams go through ups and downs in a season. It's just a matter of sticking with it and seeing where you balance out. But, you know, I think a lot of the streakiness just comes from, you know, the beauty of the sport, you know, but at the same time, you know, the injuries don't help either. So DC's been through a lot.
Sammy, great convo as always. Happy New Year to you. Appreciate the time.
Happy New Year. See you guys next year.
Thank you, Sammy. Appreciate it. Hit that wizard sounder, please. Our guy Josh Robbins covers the Wizards for The Athletic, joins us here on G&D. Josh, at this rate, they're 2-0 in their last two games. They would have the best record of all time at 82-0 if this pace continued. Shtick aside, what's been different here these last couple outings?
I think it's amazing what you can accomplish when the coach finally holds people accountable by taking minutes away. Makes everybody play harder, and I think the decision to bench Cam Whitmore, while that was probably not the intention to get everybody's attention, it certainly paved the way for people who are playing like their careers are on the line to get more minutes. And I think the whole team has followed suit. So Brian Keefe used the one quiver in his one arrow in his arsenal that he hadn't used yet, denying minutes. And I think it made a big difference.
Why do you think it took him so long to actually take the one thing that players care about is playing time, which gives them the ability to make more money, to provide for their families? What took them so long, given the season that the Wizards are having, to make that call? That seems pretty like one of the first things that you do.
It does, and it's not only this year, it's also last year, where I don't think that he did that enough, if at all. I think part of it is that the people – a whole bunch of people were guaranteed minutes, particularly last year, all the incoming rookies, where their minutes were never negatively impacted after lackadaisical performances, although there weren't that many of those on there. And then he couldn't bench Kuzma. He couldn't bench Poole. This year, Cam Whitmore's effort in that Boston game and the way he was playing before that in terms of having tunnel vision and not passing, it was so obvious that he had to make a move. And it's a lot easier to bench Cam Whitmore than it would have been one of the other young starters. And the other young starters were actually playing pretty hard, but perhaps not hard enough. And I think that Whitmore move has paid some dividends here.
Josh, what are we seeing from Alex Saar? I mean, you know, a six-block game, he's grabbing rebounds, he's running the floor, the shot selection just seems better, just a more confident player, and at 7 feet tall, you know, north of 200 pounds, are we watching a star develop before our eyes here?
Maybe, and I don't mean to be all wishy-washy about it, but he's only 20 years old. He's not even, he's, and it's very, I wouldn't use the word dangerous, but it's a fool's errand for any of us to say, well, a 20-year-old is going to be this, particularly if he's a long, lanky big whose body has not filled out yet. You can start to see star potential when we keep in mind that his body hasn't filled out yet. He's still only 20. And he's got many more years to go before he gets to whatever level of strength he's eventually going to get to. All these NBA players, they call it grown man strength. And all the centers who I've ever covered have told me, with the exception maybe of Bam Adebayo, who's special, it takes a long time to get to that full level of strength. So maybe so. And the fact that we're even entertaining the question and that you're right to ask the question shows just how much progress he's made, because a year ago at this time, there were a lot of scouts even questioning whether he could be a starter on a contending level team. And now you're asking me, with good reason, whether he might ultimately become a star.
So to kind of piggyback on the star conversation, who is the guy in the organization that's going to help him to reach his full potential? Earlier on, you talked about a lack of effort, right? And effort speaks to culture and not being accountable to the task at hand, right? Who is going to help him in the process to develop to the potential that he has? Is there somebody that they can trade for that might not be actually going to help on the basketball court, but to develop a young, talented big man?
I think that he's been making strides. For him, the effort and the motor had been much better last year, and much better this year. And one of the reasons is he's just came in better shape. When he was coming in from Australia, he was a bench player. And so in his workout prior to the draft for the Wizards, he didn't really have a whole bunch of wind. You know, his conditioning was not great, because he wasn't playing much in Australia. He was playing, but not to a heavy degree. And so I think a lot of his improvement stems from him within himself. I do think that they are developing him well. But at some point, maybe this offseason, they bring in an additional big who can complement him in ways where he's a little bit weak. I mean, it might be someone who's more of a bruiser, who he might be able to play alongside. Certainly, I think it helps. A lot of people are down on C.J. McCollum for some reason. I think it helps to have veteran players who you're playing beside instead of all young guys. And so simply having someone like McCollum or Chris Middleton on the floor, that helps. But I do think he's on the right track, and just the level of improvement does seem to indicate that they are developing him well, and he's developing himself well.
Josh, really appreciate you, bud. Have a happy new year.
All right, you too. Happy new year, guys.
Thank you, my friend. There he goes. Let's talk about the Local 53, please. Our guy, Tashawn Reed, Washington Post, who covers the Washington football gentleman. Tashawn, anything we gleaned from Dan Quinn speaking today?
Well, it sounds like it'd be a little bit of a stretch for Marcus Mariota to play this week, so that's the biggest news. Looks like Josh Johnson is pretty likely to get a second straight start this week. You know, he had a litany of other injury updates, but I think what became clear was they're not going to have a situation where they're resting guys just to rest guys. For example, Deron Payne, after missing last week, he was able to participate in the walkthrough today, and it looks like he's going to play. And so it's not a unilateral, you know, decision being made that if you have any sort of, you know, injury or nagging thing that you're just going to automatically sit out. So they aren't shutting everybody down or anything like that, but it does look like Mariota, this is going to be a bit of a stretch. That was a specific word that Quinn used for him to play this week.
My question is, why isn't Sam Hartman playing? Like, I just don't understand. Obviously, huge fan of Josh Johnson and what he's doing and what he's done in his career, but why isn't this guy playing?
Well, I know I wasn't around then, but in the preseason, I know it was pretty rough for Hartman. I'm sure that's factoring into it. You know, obviously you need experience in order to work through those struggles, but my only guess there is that they haven't seen enough progress from him between then and now to expect him to play better, particularly given that was in the preseason going against mostly backups, whereas now it would be against, you know, a full starting defense and going against that Philadelphia Eagles defense. I think that would be kind of rough for Sam Hartman most likely. So that would be my, you know, kind of read on it. I know some fans probably are frustrated by that, you know, with him being a second-year quarterback and not getting to see more out of him compared to, you know, 39-year-old, you know, Josh Johnson. But, you know, I think you can do some damage to a young player if they aren't ready to be out there and you kind of just throw them to the wolves. And so just kind of reading between the tea leaves, that seems to be where they're at with Hartman.
Tashawn, Ja'Cory Kwaski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, heck of a day, 105 yards, couple touchdowns. Really, the day was about that really long run. Other than that, I thought he was pretty bottled up. But it's still not a ton of the passing game. And I noticed he was on the field for more passing downs, with executing in pass pro. I thought he did a pretty good job there to my rudimentary eyes just watching on TV, but it doesn't feel like they trust him in the receiving game just yet. I'd love to see that going in the next year against Philadelphia, maybe a couple of times, whether it's a screen or just a swing pass or something. Where are we at with him in the pass game? Because I think that could be a real asset to get him the ball in space.
Yeah, like you said, I think they've seen growth from him when it comes to pass protection, but when it comes to his receiving ability, you know, it's still a work in progress. And at this point, Jerry McNichols is much further along in that area. He's going to be a free agent this offseason, so we'll see if they bring McNichols back or not. But that is the next step for Kroski Merritt is, you know, in addition to becoming a more consistent runner as well. But if his snaps count is going to go up consistently, he has to become a better pass protector, and he also has to be a threat in the pass game. And you know, we've seen him work on that throughout the season. You know, he also often spends a lot of time with Anthony Lynn during practice, focusing specifically on those areas. But he's a rookie, you know, and it's going to take some time. He is an older rookie, but, you know, small school guy is going to take some more development to come along in those areas. And so I think that'll be the biggest focus for him going into the offseason if he's going to become somebody that has a shot at being an every down back one day.
Playing the Philadelphia Eagles for the season finale, if the Commanders are going to win this football game, what is it that they're going to have to do?
I guess they need the Jalen Hurts that didn't complete a pass in the second half.
They have that guy play.
their offense has been weird this season. And, you know, I thought they were fairly competitive in terms of bottling them up into that fourth quarter when they played the Eagles just a couple weeks ago. So I think the defense might actually have a solid shot of keeping them in this one. It's just a matter of offensively, are they going to have enough, you know? And it's going to be tough. You know, I think you're going to have a big day from guys like Bill. I just don't think the passing offense with Josh Johnson being back there is going to be enough to carry you to victory in this one. I think they're going to need a big day from Bill and have the defense put forth a similar performance that they did against the Eagles last time. Because I thought that game was in range up until Mariota got hurt and then it started to slip away from him. But if they would have gotten more production from the offense, they could have potentially won that one. So we'll see, you know, how much the Eagles have left to play for in that game. It's going to depend on the other results that weekend and in an earlier window on Sunday. But, you know, if they do have their guys out there, I still think there's a way for the Commanders to come out with a win in this one.
Deshaun, great to catch up as always, buddy. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Appreciate y'all having me.
Really appreciate it, buddy. There he goes. That is Deshaun Reed, and that is how we Beltway Blitz. Coming up, Jay Gruden at 5 p.m. joins us for his weekly spot here on Grant. Nanny Kedrick Olson sitting in for GP. I want to take advantage of having Ked sitting in here. You've got a much more qualified set of credentials to weigh in and give opinions on this kind of the state of college football as a guy that obviously played in college at a high level at a major university that's competing for a national title this year. Then in the NFL, now coaching high school kids where you get a lot of guys that are going to the Division I level, including your own son. I want to talk kind of the state of union with college football with you next and also kind of inquire to you folks out there. How into this new playoff format, to these games, the staggered times, the fact that I had to remind myself that they're playing on Wednesday night, you know, that a huge, mega, massive national semifinal kind of wasn't really on my radar, just sort of the irregularity of it all and how new it is. Want to get into the state of college football with Ked next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.